On today's episode of the podcast, I talk with Kyle Bruderer about the Lakers. It's no surprise they're off to a slow start, and if things continue the way they're going, it's going to be the slowest start of LeBron's career, and things could get really ugly if they don't right the ship sooner rather than later. I just can't imagine LeBron's going to be very happy if the team is trending towards missing the playoffs. So it's going to be very interesting. We talk about what's going wrong. We also touch on our three biggest surprises of the season and on a positive note from the Lakers. We also talk about some general impressions of the NBA. It's so early, it's hard to really take anything from what's happened after seven games. But, you know, it is almost a tenth of the way through the season, so there is a few things to be learned. It's nothing set in stone, but it's not like they've only played one game. So we kind of talk about the league as a whole, and we briefly touch on the Utah Jazz at the very end. I also want to make a quick plug. I tell this story in the middle of the podcast to Kyle about Apple and technology and kind of how that applies to the Lakers, specifically regarding Julius Randle. He's no longer a Laker, but a new feature came out on Apple phones and iPads and computers today called Group FaceTime. I've played around with it a little bit. It's really, really cool. So if you have an Apple phone, I highly recommend updating to 12.1 and using Group FaceTime. I don't really care if they're not the first to have multi-user video chat. I could care less. What I care about is having a great user experience. And this is exactly that. So I think it's awesome. I love it. If you like Apple and you don't have it yet, highly recommend it. If you don't have Apple and if you hate Apple, then we can't be friends. So I'm just kidding. Anyways, let's get to the podcast with Kyle. And thanks for listening, guys. I appreciate it. I'm pleased to be joined by my longtime and all-time, did I get it right this time?
Yep, you did get it right.
Laker fan, but also NBA fan, Kyle Bruderer. The Lakers are, well, we're about 12% done with the season, so a little over a tenth. The Lakers are 2-5. I'm naturally a pessimistic person, much more so than you, and right now, it just does not feel like we're a playoff team. I'm not seeing improvement.
No, we're not a playoff team. And I think that the reason I'm not panicking like you are is that we're seven games into the season.
Right.
So I totally understand the concern because, yes, there's been like three straight games where there hasn't really been any improvement. It's been kind of the same thing. I like the fact that we're staying in games. Yes, it sucks that we've been having leads and then blowing those leads, but I'd so much rather be competing with these teams. And we've been competing with good teams, and we beat Denver, too. Denver's one of the best teams in the league right now, and we beat them.
Yes, that's fair.
So, I mean, yes, it is concerning on some level. I totally agree with you, but I think, you know, I mentioned this to you before, that it really is a trial and error year to find out what our needs are next season. I mean, we're gonna bring in a super, if we are able to sign a superstar, I don't think the position necessarily matters that much as long as we get a superstar, but I think we'll be able to add some pieces around those two a little bit easier. So, I don't know. What do you think?
I think it is early. I was really hoping that we would avoid this. Like, we didn't have to be a top four team in the West out of the gate for me to feel good about the team. There's a lot that I like. But I was hoping to avoid this circus that we're already getting into, which is, can Luke Walton do the job? Can people play with LeBron? Is he going to be patient? You know, it's just like, if we could have squeaked out a win against San Antonio
and Minnesota, we'd be, what, 4-3? And it would just be a totally different vibe. And so now it's like we're playing catch up. The media circus is going to be crazy because I think we all understand when I say we, Laker fans.
Yes.
I think we all understand that there is a less than 0% chance. I know that's not mathematically correct, but there's no way we're going to the finals, let alone winning a championship. We all get that. We just want to get to the playoffs and get some of the young guys a taste of the playoffs and kind of develop towards year 2, 3, and 4 of the LeBron contract. And the fact that we have started so slow, it's putting some unnecessary pressure on the team. Where now it's like, myself included, can this team make the playoffs? As of right now, no. And now I'm looking at, you know, there are some team issues that we didn't even foresee that I don't think could be fixed. Like, everyone was like, oh, they don't have enough shooters. Well, I think the Lakers have scored enough points that that's not a huge concern. What is a big concern is the defense, which I had no idea it was going to be the league's worst defense after 7 games. And we can't rebound the ball.
Yeah.
The ball, and so that's best. And I just don't, the way that the roster's I don't know what to do. And there's nothing I can do. I'm not a part of the coaching staff, but just looking at it objectively, what can be done to change things around? Because some of it is just roster construction mistakes.
I think that the Lakers have enough pieces that, you know, it's going to be difficult to lose, because honestly, the young core, I think it's extremely unlikely that they all stay intact before next season. I think that we lose at least one of them.
To what, trade or what?
Yeah, because
they're under contract.
For sure. It's going to be to trade.
Okay.
And I think that, you know, like, we're not the only ones who are noticing the problems. I mean, Lakers management,
right,
they want to win, and they want to make LeBron James happy, and they want other players to see that playing with LeBron is a positive experience. So if that means trading away Brandon Ingram, or, you know, and I know that he's probably the most expendable one at the moment.
Right.
But you never know. Things could change. I don't know. So, and it
why
might
really, why is he the most expendable? If he's also your favorite young guy,
I think.
Why do you say that?
At the current moment, because other players have been outplaying him a little bit. I think that he had a nice game yesterday, though.
Yeah.
So he's good. He's definitely a
yes,
great
trade
asset. But as far as like actual fit with the team, I don't know. It's hard to say. I personally think that Brandon Ingram has been just as good, if not better, defensively than Kyle Kuzma recently. I think that Ingram's defense definitely,
for sure,
you know, would make it difficult to trade him, especially if defense is, you know, one of our, well, our biggest weak spot. But I don't know, man, it's hard. I think that there's going to be a day in the near future when it's going to be painful to say goodbye to either B.I., Kuzma, or Josh Hart. Because the Lakers desperately need a backup center. And they need better defenders.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. And they still do need shooting. I don't think it's been as big of an issue as what people thought it would be, but
yeah,
that's completely secondary right now. When you look at if you look at that Minnesota game, they gave up 20 offensive rebounds. Like, that's the game right there. You give up half of those, you win the game. But they can't clean up the glass. And when you can't clean up the glass, it makes it really hard to play defense. I mean, you and I have played thousands of hours of basketball in our lives. Never to the professional level, obviously. But you know how demoralizing it is when you play a great defensive sequence and you can't clear the rebound and the other team gets a shot from it. That
and then when
hard to play good defense when you can't rebound.
Not necessarily consecutive possessions, but if it happens consistently, like you were saying with those, you know, how 20 whatever offensive rebounds there, you know, you keep seeing that. Oh, I mean, yeah, one time it's like, ah, dang it. And then you get back down and then it happens again and it keeps happening 20 plus times. Like that's at some point it really sinks into your head that, okay, we
stink. It's demoralizing.
And that's just the facts. Like, so
And then there's a slippage defensively. I said there's a slippage defensively because of it. No one can argue that the Lakers are even a remotely decent defensive team, and it's all the above. It's they can't make shots. I mean, you look at Brandon Ingram, and this is – I've come around on Ingram. I don't think he's a bust. He's far from it. I think he's a really good NBA player. He may one day be an all-star. Though it remains to be seen if he's going to be a perennial all-star or is he going to be a Gordon Hayward-type all-star where – maybe in year 8 or 9, he's finally an all-star caliber player, but he's just a fringe all-star player, which the Lakers need all the all-star players they can get. But I'm not ready to say, oh, yeah, Brandon Ingram is a surefire perennial all-star. I'm not ready to do it. But I think the thing that Ingram is struggling with right now is he has a well-rounded game. I think he had over 20 points against Minnesota, and I think he had over 5 rebounds and a couple of assists. Like, it's a nice stat line. But if you look at the end of the game, the dude can't make a play. I think he had 2 or 3 open shots at the end of that Minnesota game.
He did have a nice – I mean,
couldn't make them. I watched the last couple minutes of the Minnesota game, plus most of the other games.
I don't know. I mean, he did score, but –
yeah, I'm not saying he didn't score, but there were specifically 2 occasions in the Minnesota game where the ball got swung around to him, wide open from 3, clanks the back iron both times. It's just, I don't feel like he can be relied upon down the stretch. And that's ultimately, I think, the Lakers' biggest issue right now outside of the defensive stuff is at the end of games, no one can be relied upon to deliver, not even LeBron. LeBron had the turnover. I mean, LeBron's missed free throws. I mean, there is no one on this team that you feel comfortable going to right now to deliver a win. And in the competitive Western Conference, if that doesn't change fast, the hole might be too big to dig out of. And that's my concern is – well, my concern as a fan is them not meeting expectations, and I have to hear about all the crap that the – people will pile on the Lakers for getting LeBron and not making the playoffs, which is fair, but you never want to go through that.
When you dive into it and you think about all those concerns, yes, they're valid concerns, but I still think that we're going to be fine. I can't remember what year it was, but there was a year where the Lakers barely made the playoffs and still won a title that season. I need to find.
I would love to know what year you're talking about because nothing.
But yeah, I mean, teams go through learning curves like this, and especially when you think about it, like when LeBron went to Miami. Yeah, they were good, but they still had major learning curves. We don't even have a second superstar on our team, and they had 2 additional superstars. So it's gonna take a lot of time, unfortunately. And so they need you
know what
to
this
be
team
patient.
Needs.
That's what they need.
Go ahead.
Oh my god!
You know what they need is Julius Randle. I mean, it's becoming more clear and clear that a lot of these problems could have been solved by a guy we drafted and let go for no apparent reason.
Yep, that's very true.
doesn't do us any good to sit here and complain about it. But those are the little moves. I think the Lakers have made a lot of great moves under Rob and Magic, but letting Julius get his way when we controlled his contract is going to be one of those things that we look back on and say, man, you know,
yeah,
maybe that was a bigger deal than we initially thought.
Yeah, that's true. And
okay, on a positive note, finish your thoughts.
Julius Randle wanted to leave because he wanted a bigger role, but the sad thing is that he could have had a bigger role on this team right now.
100%. He left the Lakers. Sometimes people just don't know what they want. Like today, this is a total tangent,
okay. But
it's all going to make sense at the end. So be patient. Today was an Apple media day where they announced some new stuff, and I'm a huge Apple fan, so I pay attention to that stuff. And another thing they announced was crazy. I think those days might be over. That's completely beside the point. But back in the day when Apple was announcing groundbreaking new stuff, seemingly year after year after year, that really blew people's minds, they were doing stuff where I don't know if there was a lot of market research. I think that they were predicting what people would want. And, you know, there was stuff that came out that people didn't even realize they needed and wanted and they love. They were – Apple was at the forefront of predicting, you know, the future of technology and delivering on it. And people were like, wow, I didn't know I needed this. Like, here's a prime example. The original iPad, when it came out, everyone was like, this is stupid. This is just a giant iPhone. Why would I ever want it? You know, fast forward a decade, and the iPad is hands down the leading tablet seller in the world, because they released this number today. They sold this year alone 44 million iPads, which is it's more than most off-brand companies sell in computers. Like, the iPad is a raging success, and no one thought it would be. So my point about Julius is, Julius says, yeah, hey, you know, I don't want to come off the bench. I don't want to be second fiddle to LeBron. I want to, you know, continue to develop and have a starring role. Well, Julius maybe doesn't know what he wants and what's best for him. And I think what we're seeing now is he goes to the Pelicans. He didn't get the money he wanted. He's not getting the role he wanted. And he's playing along Anthony Davis, and he's having a great year. But sometimes you have to tell people, you don't know what you want. This is what we think is best for you, and this is what we're going to do. And the Lakers had that control with Julius Randle, and they let him go, and he didn't get anything he wanted, and he's in a new territory. Yeah, he's on a one-year deal. Let's not forget that. He didn't get a multi-year contract. It's just frustrating that the Lakers are like, hey, Julius wanted a bigger role, and we're going to grant him that wish. Well, you know, Julius, we don't really care what you want. I know that's maybe harsh to say, but you're under contract and you're playing for the Lakers, and you figure it out. And if it doesn't work out, you trade the guy.
If only.
So play, you know, and we could talk about these examples all day long, but Kobe wants to get traded to Chicago. We tell him no, he wins two more championships. Like, sometimes you just have to tell a player, no, we're going to do what's best for us. And a lot of times it works out, and the times that it doesn't, you trade the guy. Or, you know, worst case scenario, he stays under contract for the whole year, and then next year he leaves in free agency. That's no big deal, but that helps the Lakers in the long run. And I think, I mean, that is absolutely what the Lakers are missing. Julius Randle, he would solve the backup big, he would solve some defensive issues, and certainly some rebounding issues. And I don't know if they're going to be able to find that guy.
I don't know if they can, but I don't know, man. I think rebounding is one of those things that comes down to effort. You know, yes, there's a level of skill that comes along with it, but there, it's effort plays a massive role in that. And so I'm hoping that they can get like a high energy big guy somewhere, even if it's someone who's young, like really young, I mean, and just give him a shot. Like, I think they need to sign somebody, because Zubats is not going to give you rebounds. I don't care who you are. Like, the rebounds will.
It doesn't matter. You don't think he's 7 foot one. You don't think he can rebound?
Could get more rebounds than him if they were battling for rebounds, because Westbrook would just push him out of the way. He's too soft. I know it's sad, but it's true.
That's sad that a 7 foot, 275.
We've seen him play a teeny bit, right?
We haven't seen Zubats play this year.
He played
in
summer league a bit. Yeah, that's what I meant. That's true. But still,
he played in the preseason, and he was sick.
I just don't think it's one of those things that he's just going to be a rebounding machine.
I'll say this. I don't think that you're wrong, but yeah. Through 7 games, what we've done isn't working. So we got to start trying some new guys. And I think Zubats needs to be one of those guys we try. And after 3 or 4 games, if he can't play in the league because he's too soft and too slow, then so be it. But yeah, we can't keep playing Kyle Kuzma at center.
Yeah, I agree with that.
That has not worked out. That ship has sailed, in my opinion. So we got to do something. I know we have an open roster spot. They got to figure something out, because it's – I think LeBron said it best after the Minnesota game. Like, it's okay to be patient, but
yeah,
there's got to be improvement. We can't just be patient to be patient. Like, there needs – it's okay to be patient if you see that things are heading in the right direction. Yeah. They are not heading in the right direction right now. All right, on to some positive things. Who do you think are the three – best players on this team right now? I know it's only 7 games, but who do you put in that 1-2-3 spot? Who's impressed you?
Obviously LeBron James has been really good. Let's take LeBron James out of it, because he's an obvious. He hasn't been LeBron good. He's been,
and for the
he's
record,
good.
He hasn't
he's been the
that
most
good.
Impactful player he's on been this good. Team, obviously, but
no.
I would say,
yeah,
I think JaVale McGee has been extremely impactful and impressive. I think he has a gigantic role, and he's been really good. I think he absolutely deserves to start. Yep. Aside from Julius Randle, I think that Lance Stephenson is a close second for me. I think that Lance has been incredible off the bench. I mean, watch the guy play. He's shooting the ball well.
Make him dance, Lance.
He's a good passer. He rebounds the ball. He does a lot of those things, and plus he brings the energy that you want to have on your team. So Lance has been way better than I thought he would be. I think next to them, I would probably put Kyle Kuzma as the next guy in line.
Very interesting. I for sure agree with you on JaVale McGee. He has been, in my opinion, he's been the biggest surprise of the Lakers team this season, because he doesn't look anything like the JaVale McGee that Shaq would make fun of for years.
Exactly.
We're seeing JaVale McGee, seeing JaVale McGee.
And it's 100% effort every single possession. That's what you get out of him, and I think that's gigantic. Yeah, he makes a couple of blunders and makes some mistakes just like anyone would, but he's contesting every shot. He's going up trying to score, like he's rolling hard to the basket. I think he's been having a great beginning to the season.
I couldn't agree more. Kuzma is on the fringe.
Yeah.
What I love about Kuzma's game is that he has no fear, and I think that he fits. I think that he fits around LeBron. I'm not sure if Ingram is a good fit around LeBron. I don't know. Maybe he is, but it's just clear as day that Kuzma is not intimidated by the moment, by the extra attention from defenders. I just think that he still has a long ways to go in terms of basketball IQ and knowing when to do crazy stuff and when to just make the easy play. Yeah. But I've been really impressed by his just overall demeanor. I also love the endorsement Kobe gave of him. He said that he bleeping loved Kuz when he attended the game the other day. And so he doesn't just praise anyone. Like, he was the one who said a couple years ago that I'm not just giving the keys to the franchise to anyone. Like, they have to earn it. So he only gives you praise when he means it. And Kuzma works hard. So I think we're in good hands with Kuzma. I would take Josh Hart over Kuz. I think that Hart has shown a willingness to rebound. I think he's shown a willingness to attack the rim. It blows my mind.
He gets hit almost every single time, and he goes to the rim. Stood up for him.
I don't get it.
Singled him out and just basically said, you know, he got fined for it, but he was talking about how Chris Paul and James Harden get all these calls for flopping 30 feet away from the basket, and then you don't reward guys who attack the basket and get hit when they're trying to score. So it's, yeah, I totally agree with that. Even if I wasn't a Laker fan, like, in general, you've got to agree with that statement. It's not fun to watch players cheat the system the way that Harden and Chris Paul do. And that's exactly what I feel they're doing. So
yep. And that's a reason they're two of the most hated players in the league, is because I don't want to say that they're not genuine in playing basketball, but they're looking to exploit the gray areas rather than just playing the game. And so I love that Hart has just been not only probably our best three-point shooter this year. I love that he's one of the better rebounding guards. And that's obviously a huge problem for the Lakers. So I would say McGee, Josh Hart, and then this is going to be a very unpopular opinion, but I have been really impressed with Lonzo.
He needs to be more aggressive. I think Lonzo does a lot of the little things. He rebounds and he defends well. I think that adds tons of value for him. But he's got to be more aggressive attacking the basket. I really don't want Lonzo to just be a spot-up shooter. Yes, he's been shooting the ball better, but he needs to attack and score and make people respect that, because that's going to open things. Like, and he knows that already. It's like, just do it. It's something that's been talked about for the last year. So I want to see him actually do it. Yeah, he's been deferring to LeBron James because LeBron James is basketball god to him, and that's understandable, but it's time to, become your own. You know what I'm trying to say. He needs to be better, because he's very capable of it, and the team needs him.
I think the reason I put him in my top three is because I think he might be, outside of JaVale McGee, our best defensive player. And I think something that Lonzo doesn't get enough credit for is he makes the easy play. Yeah. Like, a lot of his passes go unnoticed because they're just the simple pass. And so I think that he's been running the offense. He's been shooting the ball better. He's been playing great defense. But you're absolutely right, though. The next big jump in his game is he's got to be aggressive. You know, I love the story that – I don't know if you heard the story, but Steve Nash told it when he was getting inducted into the Hall of Fame recently. But Don Nelson came to him and said, when he in his early years with the Mavericks, Don Nelson, Donnie, he came to him and he said, if you don't shoot the ball 10 times, I won't play you. Like, he literally told him, if you don't shoot the ball, I'm not going to play you.
Yeah.
And that kind of lesson early in his career helped Nash become the guy he was in Phoenix. Like, he would not have been a double-double guy with the Suns if he wasn't a scoring threat. Like, everyone knows that Lonzo wants to pass, but you have to be taken seriously as an offensive threat, not just a good shooter. It goes well beyond being just a good shooter. You've got to be an offensive threat, and then that would really open his game up. But if he's only going to take, you know, 5 3-point shots a game and maybe six field, you know, one dunk and 5 3-point attempts, like, I think, that's just not going to get it done.
I haven't
done.
Even seen him run pick and
roll. I
would
agree with you there.
At all this year. Maybe I've missed some, but, like, he should be our pick and roll guy. Like, I want to see him working inside the paint at around the free throw line, come around
the
screen,
you're right.
And then either be able to lob it, kick it out to a shooter, or, you know. Yeah, exactly. And I haven't seen him do that at all.
Get to the rim. Yeah, you're right. All right, let's – man, it's just hard to watch this team right now because you feel like there's talent there, but for whatever reason, it's just not – it's not resulting in late-game success. And that could very well be the inexperience. You know, it's hard to remember that this season doesn't matter, especially for me and you, because the Lakers have been bad for 5 years. This is the longest stretch of our lives that they've been bad. We desperately want to be good. And so it's hard to remember. It's hard to remember that this season there's no outcome in which you win a championship, but at the same time, you want to be as good as you can, as fast as you can.
It is hard, but
I don't know. It's hard to balance those two things.
Moments like this, I always go back to the fact that at least we have talent this year. You know, we were able to actually get a meeting with one of the best players in the league, and we were able to land someone when we've been striking out year after year. So definitely headed in the right direction. And yeah, it's a slow start. It's not ideal, but I still think that they're going to figure it out because they have the best player in the world. And I still think that Luke Walton is one of the best coaches in the league. So I think they're going to be fine.
Yeah. All right. Two final things. I'll go first, but your thoughts on the Jazz, just because we live in Utah. I'm curious what you think. And then secondly, maybe just one other impression, good, bad, whatever you want to talk about from the league. I'll go first with my NBA impression. Steph Curry is unbelievable, and I don't know how anyone dislikes that guy. It doesn't make sense. He had 51 the other night. He's having a lot of fun. It's surprising when he misses. I mean, I'm a diehard Lakers fan, but I can appreciate watching the Warriors because they play the game the right way. And it looks like Steph Curry. It looks like Steph Curry is better. That's the crazy. Yeah. This is a 2-time MVP. He's not going to win that. He's not going to win the MVP
it
this year. He's playing better now than he ever did as an MVP.
I wouldn't rule him out.
I don't know I would rule him out because once you win an MVP, I think LeBron has proved this, you have to have a ridiculous season to even win it again. I mean, LeBron's only won regular season MVP like 3 times.
True.
That's crazy. Kobe only won it 1 time. So there's just, for whatever reason, the voters in the media for the MVP, for the MVP award, they don't like giving it
they
to people that have won
it
multiple times.
They like giving it
flashy
to set records. And Steph Curry is averaging 5 threes a game right now.
Dude, he had more 3-pointers in last year than he did in any of his MVP years.
Exactly,
but no one
didn't.
Seemed to give a crap.
That's
he wasn't
he,
even in the,
I mean,
in
yeah,
the
that
ballot.
Was one record, but he had already broken that record before. If Russell Westbrook averages a triple-double again this year, he's not going to win MVP. But.
No, he's not. But if someone else, if Victor Oladipo did, they would give it to that
dude. But I think
if
Steph Curry. What?
Well, that's not. He's. Or I think we're arguing the same thing here, but I don't think that there's anything Steph can do to win the MVP.
I don't know, man. I'm not ruling it out because it's very early, but if he can maintain what he's doing, he's going to make a strong case for it because who else is like head and shoulders above him right now?
I think a lot of people in the media have been
talking
about
but
Anthony
Davis is not going to win MVP if his team gets knocked out in the first round again.
well, that's playoff true, has nothing to do with MVP.
But if
so
he goes
could very
in as a, you know, 7 or 8 seed, there's no way.
Yeah, I mean, you're probably right, but anyways, my point is Steph Curry is amazing. The Warriors are just unbelievable. They're so much fun to watch. I don't see how anyone hates them. It's easy to hate the dynasty, but come on,
yeah.
They are so much fun. I can't help but enjoy watching the Warriors play basketball. Doesn't mean I want them to win every year, but I mean, Steph Curry is such a good dude. He's so good for the league. I'm impressed in how the Warriors continually play basketball the right way.
Yeah.
I just love it.
It's definitely fun to watch. It's something that people have never seen before. And something, a thought that came to mind, I don't know if I heard it on sports talk radio or something, but the Warriors have a major, if they win a title again this season, they have some major, I mean, yes, they have major choices to make regardless, but if they win another title, how intriguing is it to those guys? Because, you know, like, they probably don't want to take hometown discounts, but at the same time, you could be the first team to ever win 4 straight championships. So,
yep. The question that needs to be asked, and I'm sure that it is inside the brain trust of the Warriors, is, are they willing to pay all 4 of those guys max money? None of them are going to take a discount. And what happens when they say, all right, Draymond, we don't want to pay you? Then,
yeah,
then it probably comes to an end. But it's hard to justify not paying all 4 of their best players maximum money, because they could probably win championships for
the
next 5 years. And we haven't even talked about DeMarcus Cousins. What if he's good?
It's true.
What if he's back to form? All right, what's your – go ahead.
What were you
sorry.
Going to ask me?
I was just going to say, what's your kind of overall impression of the league? What's kind of stuck out to you after 7 games? Which doesn't sound like a lot, but it's a tenth of the NBA season.
Yeah, based on what we've seen so far, I think that no one has really – like the Warriors are so much better than any other team in the NBA. It's not even close. Like, Houston doesn't even compare to Golden State. Yes, they've got some talented players.
We have a better record than Houston.
I mean, even Boston, like, I think that Boston is going to be really good, and I think Boston is going to come out of the East. But Golden State is going to dance circles around them. So, yeah, that my biggest takeaway is just how much better Golden State is than everybody else, especially after, you know, the last few years. Everyone's been trying to, like, improve their rosters to try and compete with Golden State, and it seems like they've gone backwards. As far as – what was I going to say? I think you also asked about the Jazz. I think that
– The Jazz.
It's hard to say. I know that you have strong feelings about how the Jazz – it's just impossible for them to be really good this year because they don't have a – like an absolute superstar. But I think that the Jazz, you know, we talked about this with we were talking about the LA Rams and how those players have bought into the system. I believe that the players in Utah have really bought in with Quinn. And I think that, and I'm not a Jazz fan, but I really believe that I believe that Utah is going to finish, I think, top 4 or top 3. If they're healthy, I think that they are going to be really, really good because they're playing well. Ricky Rubio is good. Donovan Mitchell is going to continue getting better. Rudy Gobert is really, really good so far. So I think Utah is definitely going to surprise a lot of people.
I don't disagree. I mean, I have the Jazz at in the 4 or 5 spot. I could definitely see them doing as good as a 3 seed, maybe even a 2 seed. And I don't think it's impossible for them to be a good team. I just think it's impossible for them to really do anything. in terms of a deep playoff run. But I don't know. I mean, there's always exception to the rules, and it would be great for the league to see a team like Utah, which is just going completely against the grain, to see them really put up a fight with the Warriors. I mean, I'm not rooting against that. History tells me that you have to have top 20 players to make a deep run in the playoffs, which I don't think they have yet. They may, but I don't know what to think about the Jazz. I think they've had some puzzling losses and they've had some really big wins. So I would say the jury is still out on Utah. They're definitely a playoff team, probably one of the better teams in the West, but I want to see them, because last I remember, they haven't won a home game.
Yeah,
I know they haven't played many home games, but they got to beat the Memphises at home on a regular basis if we want to take them seriously as a finals contender.
Yeah, I agree with you. But I think the fact that they've had playoff experience with that group of guys, and they basically have their entire squad back from last season. Yeah, they have a couple of new little additions, but I think that, you know, people don't value that, you know, the chemistry and having a playoff, not necessarily a playoff run, but playoff experience with the same group of guys. I think that they're going to be able to build upon that, not have to figure out how to do it again. So, yeah, I mean, it sounds like I'm very pro Jazz right now, which I've never been a Jazz fan, but I think that they're fun to watch, and they have, it's hard to hate the Jazz right now. It's hard to say that because I hated them for so many years, but I think Donovan Mitchell is an incredible human being and a great player, and he has really embraced the Utah fans. And I think that, I don't know, it's something about that. And plus with Rudy Gobert, I think he's going to stay loyal to Utah. So they've got something special. Granted, it's probably not going to result into a championship anytime soon, but if they can go to the Western Conference Finals, I mean, that's basically a championship for Utah. So
I like it when they stay in that's the Western Conference Finals, because, you know, I still enjoy hanging the fact over a couple fans and then who they are that they've never won a championship. I still enjoy having that as a bullet.
Yeah, I would be happy tough to arguments, have Utah but, go. Yeah,
I would
Western
agree.
Conference Finals and then get swept. Yeah, I could root
spoken like a true Lakers fan. I love it. Yeah, we wish you well. Go to the finals and then get swept. All right. Well, thanks for talking hoops, man. And hopefully the Lakers can get it figured out, because, man, it's stressing me out a little bit.
It is stressful, but, I mean, I'm sure that we will revisit all of these topics in the near future and see. I mean, you could be totally right, or I could be totally right. It's going to be interesting to see where the chips fall at that time.
Absolutely. All right, dude, have a good one. And,
okay, sounds good.
We'll
take care.
Talk soon, I'm sure.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.